I wonder if you've ever had one of those aha moments when something new or confusing became crystal clear to you. Well, when we read in the book of Acts, we discover the Apostle Peter. And Peter had grown up in a strong religious atmosphere. All of his life he had lightly obeyed all the legalities of the Jewish faith to the best of his ability. But there were likely times he ignored the rules, and don't we all? And yet, the laws and customs of his people were so deeply ingrained in Peter that he would never willingly and permanently abandon their keeping. That is, until the Apostle Peter runs into a head-on encounter with God, as described in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. Jewish dietary laws had been drilled into Peter from his earliest days, and who knows how many times he'd heard a parent chastise him for playing with an unclean creature, or perhaps entering the house of an unclean Gentile friend. When such things happened, only rigorous special cleansing could restore the sinner to ceremonial acceptance and to rightful worship. He just didn't eat legally unclean food as prescribed by the Levitical law. He just didn't associate with the unclean Gentiles who lived outside of that law. And that Peter lives in us today. Because we reject much of the food that foreigners eat because it's not accepted in our culture. We place people of races, languages, colours and education levels different from us in sometimes into the unacceptable category. This pre-Acts chapter 10 spirit of Peter is alive and well in our religious world and our culture today, just as it was with Peter. But Peter was about to have an epiphany, one of these aha moments. For him, change was on the way. He was hungry during his prayer time. He was observing that on the flat rooftop where he could find privacy in the house where he was staying. And Peter was almost in a religious trance. He was experiencing God showing him and telling him that what God has made, every rejected creature, every creepy crawly thing, is clean and acceptable as food. And this surely blows Peter's mind. It fuses his box. What does it mean? Well, he's about to find out. Because while he ponders this vision, he hears a knocking at the gate. Well, it was cultural then that Jews didn't go into Gentiles' property. But so too, Gentiles didn't readily enter Jewish property. So the knocking at the gate happened. And when Peter answers the knock at the gate, he discovers a delegation of Gentiles waiting for him with a request that he accompany them to the house of their master, Cornelius. Well, it was almost unheard of for that to happen, for Gentile people to ask a Jewish person into the house of a Gentile. In this case, Cornelius. And Peter, when he hears this request, begins to understand his rooftop vision, namely that the Gentile people are as good as the Jewish people and are as acceptable as equals in God's sight. Well, this man Cornelius, to whom Peter is summoned or invited, was a Roman army officer. He was in charge of 100 troops. He was a centurion. And yet he was a man who feared God. Although not Jewish, he feared God. And he was highly respected by his troops and by the local civilians alike. And although he had what we might call the good life, he didn't feel complete. He felt something was missing. There was a God-shaped hole in his life. And having heard of Jesus' grace and Jesus' promise of salvation, Cornelius wondered if Peter, who proclaimed this message, if Peter could have the answer that he, Cornelius, sought. And so crossing the Jew, Gentile, Gentile, Jew, racial barrier, having seen for the first time the equality of all God's children, the Apostle Peter took the final step of faith resulting from his rooftop vision. Crossing the threshold into Cornelius' house, Peter the Jew shared the good news, the gospel, with Cornelius the Gentile. And Peter the Jew welcomed Cornelius the Gentile as the first Gentile convert into the movement of Christ, the church. What did Peter, I wonder, say to Cornelius that changed Cornelius' life? Well, after accepting Cornelius' gracious invitation, as issued by his servant sent to escort Peter to Cornelius' home, Peter began his speech by acknowledging that he now accepted the truth that to God, every person is the same in his sight, and that God accepts anyone who worships him and does what is right. It makes no difference what country, what culture a person comes from. That's not important. The important thing is that all the people hear and understand the message of good news that God sent to the people of Israel. And that message is the good news that peace and forgiveness and salvation has come through this man, Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And such good news is for all people. The Jewish people who first received it are simply the vehicles through which this good news is to be proclaimed to everyone, everywhere. And then in a few words, the Apostle Peter reminded Cornelius and his household of the things they had heard about Jesus. He spoke of how it all began in Galilee, when Jesus, seen as the deliverer of his people, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, went everywhere doing what is good and right for all the people. He healed people by driving out the demons that claimed them. He cleansed them of their running sores and their crippling diseases by calling them from their sinful actions and forgiving them of their sins. And by restoring to them to wholeness with God and with themselves and with their loved ones and with the community. He did all of these things because God was with him and God was in Jesus, in him. And Peter went on to declare that those who followed Jesus saw all of this personally. He said, we are witnesses of this. We've seen it for ourselves. We saw it as we followed Jesus through Judea and into Jerusalem. And of course, these witnesses were also there, and they saw how Jesus was arrested, how he was tried in mockery, how he was crucified by those who opposed him. But they were also there on the third day when Jesus arose from the dead, when he was raised from the grave by the power of the same God who had been with him all through his journey through the earthly life, and who was still with him when earthly life was ended. And as we're told in the book of Acts, although he was not seen by all the people, those whom God had chosen ate and drank with him. They talked with him, they listened to him after he was raised from the dead. And the ones who did this, they became witnesses to all that happened. They were able to tell the story firsthand. They were the ones who had been commissioned to declare what they'd heard, what they had seen, and what they had experienced, so that other people might believe and join the company of the committed through forgiveness of sins, through salvation, through the grace given by God through Jesus Christ. And the witnesses of Jesus' resurrection were to tell that Jesus is the one chosen by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And all those who believe in Jesus, all those who choose to follow Jesus, all those who receive Jesus' salvation will be, Scripture says, forgiven of our sins. For God will forgive us through Jesus. That's the message of Acts 10, 34-43. For that day Cornelius and his household experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. They were baptized. They became the first Gentiles to enter the body of believers, the church. But what does this ancient story say to 21st century people like us? Well, it says that in our emptiness, in our clamour for things that do not satisfy, in our sinfulness, in our spiritual brokenness, in our loneliness, in our wandering about in despair and hopelessness, we would do well to listen to the witness of Peter. For the good news Peter brought to Cornelius and to his people, his household, is still relevant in our day and our age. For we too need the healing, we need the deliverance, we need the forgiveness, the salvation that only God in Jesus Christ can bring to us. We need life with meaning today, and life that is eternal, not passing. For only as we possess such life can we live solidly in this time and all the time. Pray, like Cornelius, that we will be humble enough to seek the one who alone can fill the God-shaped blank in our lives, and be brave enough to act on the truth Peter shared that changed Cornelius and his house forever. Let's pray.